Reading over these readings for today, especially the Gospel, and looking at the harmony and other accounts of this miracle in the Synoptic Gospels, made me think about something that happened to me many years ago as a young priest working at the Centro Catolico, the Spanish Catholic Center in Washington. I got an urgent call one day. It was a Saturday over the weekend. The call was from the Traveler's Aid Society agent who was working at National Airport in Washington. And they asked if I could come to the airport to help them with a Spanish-speaking traveler who was having difficulties. When I arrived, they presented me with a young man whose name was Segundo Watay. He was a very short man, maybe 25 years old, and obviously of an indigenous background. He was from Peru. He had a small suitcase and the clothes on his back, and the traveler's aid agent told me rather angrily, this young man just got off the end of flight from Lima. He doesn't speak English. He has no money. He knows no one in Washington, and he is blind. I asked him what brought him to Washington, and Segundo said, well, Padre, I'm here to be cured of my blindness. Really? He said, where he was from, there were no schools for the blind, no seeing eye dogs, no programs to learn Braille, no operations that might cure a blind person. He said, where I'm from, if you're blind, you're lucky if you make a little money sitting on the church steps and begging. I asked him, well, how did you get here? Well, to our amazement, he described how he was able to convince someone in the American Embassy to give him a tourist visa, and was able to extract a free airline ticket from one of the officials at Braniff Airlines. That was a miraculous accomplishment that he achieved because of his extraordinary determination to overcome his handicap. It occurred to me that Segundo is a lot like Bartimaeus, the blind beggar in today's gospel. The road through Jericho led to Jerusalem, to the temple. And so there were many beggars there, hoping that some of those religious pilgrims that passed along that road might feel inspired to give them an alms. They were there like the blind beggars on the church steps in Segundo's village. Bartimaeus was like Segundo. He was not resigned to his lot. He was determined to find a way to cure his blindness. Doubtless he had heard about Jesus' preaching and miracles. So when he learned that Jesus and his disciples were passing by, he began to scream at the top of his lungs, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That phrase has come to be known as the Jesus Prayer of the Eastern mystics. They repeat it over and over and over again to pray without ceasing. The people in the crowd were not happy with the beggar. They were like the agent from Traveler's Aid at National Airport. They tried to shut him up. I told him, be quiet, control yourself. But Bartimaeus was determined. He would not shut up. And finally, one of Jesus' disciples, as we read in one of the other Gospels, came and said, take heart, the Master is calling you. I'm always fascinated by the contrast that we see in the Gospels between the crowd and the community. The crowd is always pushing people away from the Lord or preventing them from drawing close. But the community is is inviting, helping people to get to Jesus. Some of the disciples take the blind man right up to Jesus, and the Lord says to him, "What do you want?" That was a rhetorical question. Jesus knew what the man wanted. God always knows what we want before we ask for it. The asking changes us and opens us to the power of God. And Jesus says to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." Luke goes on to say that once Bartimaeus received his sight, he followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people gave praise to God. The old adage is, seeing is believing. But the opposite, I think, is even truer. To believe allows us to see. When I taught Spanish literature at CU, one of the novels that I always enjoyed teaching young people about was a novel by Pérez Galdós called Marianela. It's the story of this young woman in a village in Spain who has a great capacity for friendship, for goodness, for love. She has a boyfriend whose name is Pablo, who happens to be blind. And Marianela cooks for Pablo, she washes his clothes, she reads to him, she takes him for walks. And one day Pablo's family was able to send him off to the big city where the doctors managed to cure him of his blindness. And now he returns to his village, and for the first time in his life he sees this young woman who loves him more than anyone else in the world ever could or ever would. But now that Pablo can see, what he realizes, there are other young women in the village who are prettier than Marianela. And eventually goes off and marries someone else. The irony of the story is when Pablo was blind, he could see. He could see the beauty and the goodness and the love of Marianela, but when he could see with his eyes, he could only see what was on the surface. He could only see appearances, and appearances often deceive us. It's faith that gives us a real vision, to be able to see the world through God's eyes. And that's the miracle that Jesus did for Bartimaeus. He gives him the vision of faith that allows him to become a disciple and to joyfully follow Jesus. Bartimaeus can see reality, can see what is really important as he begins to see the world through God's eyes. Having received the faith, he follows Jesus and he glorifies God. His blindness, with all the suffering and the humiliation it cost him, was actually a grace, a blessing in disguise that allowed him to discover how much he needed God. One of the things that faith allows us to discover is precisely that. That crosses are oftentimes moments of grace that allow us to draw closer to God and to experience salvation. My favorite station is the fifth station. Simon the Cyrenian helps Jesus to carry the cross. Simon was an African living in Jerusalem, coming home from work when suddenly he's grabbed by these Roman soldiers and forced to be part of the spectacle of a public execution. I am sure that Simon thought that this was the worst day of his life. Perhaps he even felt put upon because he was African and looked different. And maybe that's why they picked him out to carry the cross. It was an embarrassment and an humiliation to be cast in the role a of the helper to a condemned criminal. I'm sure he was thinking, I hope my neighbors don't see this. I hope people don't recognize me. If they do, it will bring ridicule and shame to my family. He carries the cross begrudgingly. Later in the New Testament, we read about two leaders in the community, Rufus and Alexander, who are identified as the sons of Simon. It leads me to believe that that was Simon of Cyrene, who at one point after the resurrection becomes a Christian and his family with him. I can only imagine that at the end of his life, one of his greatest joys is to gather his children and his grandchildren and tell them about the most wonderful thing that ever happened to him, being chosen to have the privilege to help Jesus of Nazareth carry the cross to Calvary. So it is with our own lives. There are often blessings in disguise, crosses, illnesses, failures, that are really a preface to an encounter with our loving Savior. Today, Jesus is asking us the rhetorical question. What do you want? Like Bartimaeus, let us say we want to see. We want to have a deeper faith that will allow us to see the world through his eyes, to see what is really real, what is really important. And when we come to have an ever-deepening vision of faith, help us to discover clearly our mission and our role. As I have said a moment ago, the crowd often pushes people away from the Lord. The crowd is a collection of individuals, each with his or her own agenda, ambitions, plans, prejudices. The communities are the disciples who have a sense of mission to help others to draw near to Christ. Our task is to change the crowd into a community. That's what evangelization is about. You are tasked with helping the Segundos and the Bartimaeuses of the world to draw closer to Christ so that they will be able to see the light of Christ. Your work allows miracles to happen. Your work makes it possible for missionaries to carry the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. When I was in the seminary, our Capuchin friars opened a mission in Papua New Guinea, in the southern highlands, where the population were all animists, pagans, practicing cannibalism and sorcery. A couple of years ago, they had a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the arrival of the gospel to their land. The people spoke about the liberation that the gospel brought to them. They had lived in darkness, in fear, and violence. The gospel weaved them together in a community where pardon replaced vengeance, where cruelty was replaced by mercy, where darkness was dispelled by the light. On behalf of all of those Bartimaeuses who are being invited to draw near to Christ, I thank you and I encourage you to continue to work tirelessly to support the missions.